Having that drywall and fresh in the air, you put art and history review up there, we turned on. I think so.
Don't switch on the top button.
Okay. Over there. Hey, me, okay. That's good. Yes, invariably at school we used to get some return work, and in red at the bottom it would say, must do better. And I feel after the quiz this morning I'm somewhat ashamed. I only knew the answer to the one question. It was an obvious one, the 66 books, of course, but the rest, I had no clue.
I should have asked how many were in the old and the new as well, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you should have done. Our Bible verse this morning is a well-known one. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. And the verse runs like this. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And so the title of the message this morning is Underneath the Everlasting Arms. You know, we live in restless times, don't we? What fearful times are upon us. Pandemics, war, global warming, pollution of the seas. I think what we're seeing in the world today are signs that we're heading very soon into what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. The Bible speaks very much about a time that's going to come upon the earth. God's judgment will be released upon this whole planet. Jesus Christ, speaking about the end times, said nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. You know, we've heard the news reports, and they've come up with this word Armageddon. I notice they mention. Of course, Armageddon is a Bible word. It's a place that exists in Israel. It's the place where the last great battle will be fought, when all the nations of the world will be gathered in their forces, and Jesus Christ will return and will destroy his enemies. But, you know, although it's a time of problems and stress in the world, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to us, and as he said to his disciples, you know, just before he was crucified, the disciples were going to be thrown into despair when they saw their Messiah hanging upon the cross. They thought that was it. But you know, just prior to that, time of trouble, Jesus said to them, let not your hearts be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again. And so God will say that to us this morning. Don't be overwhelmed by what you listen to on the news. God is in control, and Jesus Christ is going to return one day. And you know that in Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, underneath are the everlasting arms. This was spoken to Israel, of course, as they're on their way out of captivity in Egypt. And God said to them, under you are these everlasting arms. And these everlasting arms are going to carry you into the promised land. And it's true, the everlasting arms are going to carry us into a promised land one day, into heaven itself. Underneath us are the everlasting arms. The everlasting arms are carrying us. This is our transport, if you like. But of course, we all know about arms, don't we? I'd ask you to cast your mind back, but you won't remember it, neither would I. When the midwife picked you up and passed you over to the parents, and you entered the scene, and you were under your parents' arms, not the everlasting arms, but the arms of security, no doubt. And our parents, of course, taught us things that we didn't know. They taught us how to walk, how to speak, how to hold a spoon, how to do up our shoelaces. All these things we learned from our parents. How dependent we were upon the loving arms of our parents. But we're talking about the everlasting arms, and you know, God had a plan for each one of us. You know, before we were born, God had it planned that we would have an encounter with the living God and with the everlasting arms. In talking about the everlasting arms this morning, we're talking about God, his arms being underneath us. You know, we reached a stage in our life, you may have been a teenager, you may have been older, but you reached a stage where you believed in the Christmas story, you believed that Jesus Christ was born of a Virgin Mary. And when you read that Jesus was crucified upon the cross, you came to believe that he died there for our sins. And when he was raised from the dead on the third day, you believed it. And you know the promise that he's going to return one day. You believed it. In that moment you had an encounter with the living God. We trusted him for full salvation. We welcomed the gospel. And at that very moment, when we believed, at that very moment, we fell into the very arms of God for the rest of our lives. The everlasting arms. We were born again, born of God. And we have a place of resting, if you like, in God's arms. He's carrying us. You know, children, when they're born especially, are a precious bundle, are they not? You hold them in your arms, if it's your own child, when you come perhaps from the maternity hospital, or perhaps it was the midwife that came to your house. But when your parents held you, you were a precious bundle. More valuable than anything you possessed, that child that you held in your arms. You know, we as Christians in God's arms are a precious bundle. The God speaking about said this, that we are his glorious inheritance. That's what our God terms it when he looks at us. He looks at us and said, these are my riches, God says. This is my inheritance, a precious bundle. Now, you know, we're heading up towards Christmas. And of course it comes around once a year. Thank goodness it's no more than that. And it's a time of lavishing the children with presents, gifts, sackfuls. I know some grandparents who turn up with a sack full of presents for the kids. I've got 7 grandchildren, so I see it all happening. You know, our God, our Father, brings a sackful of gifts into our lives. This Father who speaks about his everlasting arms being underneath us, he looks at us and he bestows a sackful of gifts. For instance, one of his gifts is forgiveness. The Bible says he lavishes forgiveness upon us. It says it in Ephesians chapter 1. He lavishes forgiveness upon us. That's why we should forgive each other. For God lavishes forgiveness on us. He knows what we're like. He knows we're awful sinners sometimes. But he's lavished forgiveness on us. You know, we have such misgivings about our past, don't we? You sometimes reflect on your old days, your childhood, the things you said and did and wished you hadn't. You need to grasp with firm that statement that he's lavished forgiveness upon us. It's a great gift. It gives us peace with God. And it drives away fear. You know, when we became Christians and God picked us up, as it were, into his loving arms, a whole raft of good gifts were shipped into us from God. It's all from God. These things I'm talking about this morning don't come from us. Forgiveness comes from God. And what else has he shipped into us then? Well, the Bible said he shipped in righteousness, but now a righteousness from God, it says. Not a righteousness from us. That's no good. It's a righteousness from God. And this righteousness from God is so great, God calls us holy and blameless. This child that he holds in his arms, that he values so much and is so precious to God, he calls that child, of which you are a child of God, he calls you holy and blameless. Now these aren't my words, these are the words that it says in the Bible. This comes from God. The other thing, of course, what he gives us as a gift is eternal life. You know, so many people have lived on this planet of ours, on the news, someone's died, and that's it. That's it. They have no faith in Christ. They've got no future, only future judgment. But you know, we who put our trust in Jesus Christ, we have the gift of eternal life. And when we die, well, it's not like death in the real sense. It's a doorway into something that's new, and that is eternal. It'll be the beginning of great things that are going to last forever. Eternal life. Something else. And I'm glad you mentioned the Word of God this morning, brother. It was good. You know, the Word of God that we carry around with us and that we read is a gift from God. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was praying for the church, says, Father, he says, I've given them the Word. So when you pick up the Word of God, this is a gift from God. Now, you know, in the giving out of presents and gifts, you'd be a bit miffed if you handed somebody a present, all wrapped up in its Christmas paper maybe, and they just put it on the shelf. Didn't bother with it. They said thank you, but that's it. You know, so often as Christians, we put our Bible on the shelf. We rarely read it. You know, this Bible that's been given to us is a gift from God. It comes from God. It's God speaking to us. Sometimes we say, if only God would step in and say something. Well, yes, there it is, in his book. We need to unwrap it on a daily basis. The Apostle Paul, writing to the early Christian church, said this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What is the word of Christ? It's the very Bible, those 66 books written to each one of us. This raft of gifts, this lavish forgiveness, this righteousness, this eternal life, the word of God. There's something else. God has given us the Holy Spirit to indwell us. It's a gift. It comes from God. It was a promised gift. It was promised. It's for every believer, the Holy Spirit, who ministers to us and comforts us and strengthens us and opens up the Scriptures to us. You know, the Holy Spirit works hand in glove with the Scriptures. And it's a good idea when you read the Scriptures to pray that God will reveal things to you. And he will. There are Scriptures there that are just waiting for their release into your life, which is done through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the gift of the Holy Spirit is for all those who have put their faith in Christ. The Apostle Paul, writing about the blessedness of these gifts in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And remember, these blessings, they don't come from us. They don't come from the church. They come from God. In the last book of the Bible, he mentions there's a mention of a river that flows from the throne of God. River flowing. That is a great illustration these gifts, this blessing, flows like a river from the throne of God. And you can't stop it. You can't stop a river, can you? You can't stop God blessing you. It's there for each one of us. It's a river of grace. Now the other week we had a moment of sadness. We have a friend called John Crick, and he's gone to be with the Lord about 3 weeks ago. His funeral's next week. But I had to go and visit him in the care home, and it was obvious he was in his last days. He had 3 days to go, as it turned out. And I sat there next to his bed, and he was sort of half asleep. He was doped up with morphine to kill the pain. It was a bad time for him, of course. And I thought, what shall I say to him? And I recall some words that my wife Jill had mentioned to him. Underneath are the everlasting arms. So I said, John, I said, underneath your life are the everlasting arms. And those everlasting arms are going to carry you into God's heavenly glory. And he didn't open his eyes, but he whispered the words, thank you. Thank you, Bobby says. Yes, this God of ours is going to carry us on his everlasting arms into glory. Yeah, the Apostle Paul, he was coming to the end of his life. He knew he was going to be executed. And he wrote these words to Timothy. You can read it in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. The Apostle Paul said this, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge will award me, not only to me, but to all those who have longed for his appearing. We're in a race, the Apostle Paul says. He says, I've nearly finished this race. You know, as I look around and I think perhaps many of us have come round the last bend. You know, they race round a track. And we're coming up to the last bend. And the finishing tape is ahead. And every one of us are racing towards this day. You know, I believe at the end of this, at the finishing line, people are waiting for our arrival. People have gone before. It's the finishing line. And you say, are we going to make it? Well, the heavenly arms, the arms of God will carry us through. And we're going to receive a crown. Here's another gift coming up. We're going to receive a crown. This crown is for all those. It's called the crown of righteousness. It is for all those who put their trust in Christ. In this race, there are no losers. Can you imagine that? Somebody has to be last in a race. But in this race that Paul speaks of, there are no losers. We're all winners. The everlasting arms will carry us over the finishing line. You know, the everlasting arms that have carried us down through the years will carry us through. Death is not the end. There's going to be a crowning day. Now, something I want to mention now. We've been talking about everlasting arms, of course, this morning, and the everlasting arms being underneath us. You know, those everlasting arms were stretched out on a cross. Jesus Christ was crucified. Those everlasting arms were stretched out, which speaks very much of his love for us, each one of us. And it speaks about his invitation. His arms are open and invites people into his salvation. Listen to what Jesus said on one occasion in Matthew. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest in the embrace of his arms. You know, the Apostle Paul, it was very important that this hope that we have, his eternal hope, was a firm fix in our minds. And the Apostle Paul prayed a prayer. And I'll read it out to you. First of all, he says, I keep on asking. Some prayers we need to continue to ask. This one. It's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Paul said, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Then he goes on. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. There's the prayer. That our eyes will be opened more and more. Our certain future. You know, we can be quite fearful as the days tick over, can't we? We can be so anxious. But you know, this hope dispels all fear. This certainty that we have in Christ Jesus. We've been talking about the love of the Father giving us gifts. He's not finished there. You know, we know we've got a sack full of gifts. I've mentioned them already. Cross that finishing line. We're going to get a crown, of course. That's another gift. But we're also going to get a new body. This cranky old body that we've got that's wearing out with one or two additional parts that have been added to keep it going. We're going to dispense with it in that day. And God's going to give us a new eternal body in his presence. We're also going to Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. You're going to have a new postal code. You know what a postcode is, don't you? Mine's GL53, 9BK or something like that. GL stands for Gloucester. Yours is probably Warwick, isn't it? Not Warwick, Worcester, isn't it? WR? Oh, yeah. You're GLs as well. Well, that's good, isn't it? GL's good. So let's tell you something. The Apostle Peter said we're strangers in this world and we have a new postcode coming. I got it out in the book of Revelation. The postcode is NJ, the New Jerusalem. That's your new postcode and that's what that new place is waiting our arrival. Now, everlasting arms. It's not a temporary arrangement. It's the everlasting arms. At home, while we're trying to make ends meet, remember that underneath are the everlasting arms. You may be lying in hospital. You may have a spell in hospital. At that time, you need to remember that underneath you are the everlasting arms. You may be going through a time of sorrow and tears, and it hurts you. In your experience, remember, the everlasting arms of grace are underneath you. You may have family troubles, and who doesn't get family troubles? But underneath are the everlasting arms. You may have fear and anxiety about all manner of things. Remember, underneath are the everlasting arms. Whatever your lot, his everlasting arms are beneath us. You know, those loving arms are arms of love. And I came across a verse which I can conclude with. It's found from the Song of Solomon. And it refers to arms. It says this in chapter 8, verse 3. It's the relationship that God has with his church and with individual believers. His left arm is under my head, and his right arm embraces. That speaks of love, doesn't it? His loving embrace, His loving arms. His left arm is under my head. His right hand embraces me. The truth of the matter is this. He loves you. The loving arms about you. When you held a child in your arms, you loved it to bits. God loves you to bits. You may be saying to me this morning, how can God love me? I'm such a wicked sinner. I've failed God in so many ways. How can God love me so bit to bits? You know what we used to do with the babies? What happened when you were a child in arms? Somebody washed you every day. You never got away with that. That was the first thing. I remember our first child being washed in the washing up bowl. A new one. She's like holding a bar of soap, they're so slippery. But you know, that was a frequent event. Keeping them clean. Listen, His everlasting arms constantly keep us clean. What does it say in 1 John? We confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're in the loving arms. Our loving arms keep us clean. We're going to close with a hymn. It is well with my soul. Can we have that, Donald?